Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance to gather together as a body over Zoom. God, we just ask that your spirit will just meet us wherever we may be, physically right now, God, emotionally and spiritually. God, that your spirit will connect to us. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this time to lead and guide my words, Lord, and that you'll just lead and guide our hearts and our ears and minds to hear and understand what it is that you have to share with us this morning. So God, we just invite you here, Lord, and we thank you that we know that you are present with us. In your name we pray, amen. And so Psalm 23 is probably the most famous psalm in all of Scripture. I was reading last night that it's probably the most memorized psalm and possibly the most memorized passages, verses in all of Scripture, even by people who aren't believers. And if there's one passage in Scripture that people seem to know, this is it, especially from the Psalms in the Old Testament. And I was meditating on these words. And I was just thinking about God's goodness and why he's called a shepherd. Why is God called a shepherd? Why does David use this illustration? In fact, this is one of the most personal metaphors or examples of who God is, his character, in all the Psalms. Most of the other ones, like king, stronghold, things like that, they're actually quite distant. You know, you don't have time with a king, right? Very few people would ever spend and meet a king. But a shepherd relating to a sheep is very intimate, very connected. And so by God being called a shepherd by David, it's showing God's intimacy, his personal relationship with his people, his sheep. Now also, one of the reasons why David so confidently calls God shepherd is because he was a shepherd, right? This is something David understood very well, what it meant to be a shepherd. It wasn't a foreign concept. It wasn't something he couldn't connect with, but in fact, it was he himself that was the shepherd that made it that he can recognize God's character as a shepherd. You know, I was looking into what it meant to be a shepherd, and one of the things is that, I didn't know this one before, is that typically, if there was a need for a shepherd, the shepherd in a family, that would always go to the youngest son. The youngest son, now it didn't mean the other sons didn't also participate in being a shepherd, but because of their view on what it meant to be a shepherd, it was not a highly praised job. It was unpleasant. It was rough. It was hard. And it came with a lot of dangers, which is kind of interesting that then it would be the youngest son, because you think if it was a dangerous job at points that you'd want it to be your strongest child. But because of it, for some reason, it was always the youngest son that would for sure be tasked with being a shepherd. And when you think about the fact that then God himself, right, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, right, and this illustration is used over and over in Scripture, God would come then, which would be something that would be the youngest child's position, an unpleasant role, something that people did not look highly upon. And yet God chooses to call himself that. God chooses to call himself the shepherd. He chooses to allow Scripture to reflect him in this nature, in this position, right? And there's this idea then that God, the God of the universe, the God who is in control of everything, the Creator, he stepped down, he stoops down to care for you and me, right? In sometimes difficult situations, sometimes in messy situations where maybe he doesn't need to in our eyes and the way we look at how someone of that position. But God chooses to. It's something he has chosen. You know, I was thinking, if I were to write Psalm 23 in my own words, I wouldn't use the word shepherd because it's not something that I personally connect with if I'm writing it for the first time. You know, if this was my cry out to God, my song to God, my reflection, I would maybe use other descriptions, other positions, maybe coach or parent or pastor, mentor, teacher, a close friend, right? Someone that would connect more deeply to me. And I think coach or teacher would probably be two of the things that I would, because of I've been a coach. Well, I haven't coached in now 6 years, but in my life, I coached soccer, basketball, softball for like 15 years of my life since I was a teenager, all the way through when I was a teacher, right? And knowing and understanding that, you know, when we relate to God, I think there's that space where God allows us to connect with what we know, the tangible, what we know, you know, as being the image bearers of God. There's characteristics of God in us that we're able to recognize and identify that help us understand him better and our relationship to him. And I think this is what David is doing. David recognizes God's characteristics that he understands so intimately from his own experience that he's able to confidently describe God as a shepherd, understanding fully what that meant. You know, it's tangible to him. Is it tangible to you? Is God being shepherd actually tangible, or is it just out there? Is it just something that we read and we don't fully grasp because we don't understand and experience what it means to live that life? You know, David also is able to recognize God as shepherd because he recognized himself as a sheep. He understood what it meant to be a sheep, right? To be a sheep is an object of in property, right? A sheep is not typically a wild animal. And, you know, we've seen those pictures of those sheep that have gone astray for, you know, 2 to 6 years. I don't know what the longest is, right? And they're mangled and their wool is completely a mess and they can hardly move. It's quite dangerous, right? A sheep needs a shepherd. They do not do well in the wild, just like you and I need a shepherd. We need to belong to God. David does not doubt that God is his shepherd, and he does not doubt that God has been guiding him, protecting him, and that he's been caring for him. You know, what's interesting is that David here describes God as his shepherd. It's personal. My shepherd, right? It's not Israel's shepherd. It's not believer's shepherd. It's his personal shepherd. Here we see that David is connecting to God on this personal, individual level. And of course, we know that God is the body, you know, the believer's shepherd as well. And God is calling those who don't believe in him yet to come to be his sheep. But here we see David recognizing that he is God's sheep. He understands his need for God. You know, Spurgeon says that before a man can truly say the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature. For he cannot know that God is his shepherd unless he feels in himself that he has the nature of a sheep. He must relate to a sheep in its foolishness, its dependency, and its warped nature of its will. You know, shepherds are guides, they're physicians, and they're protectors. In our lives, we need to understand our need for that. We need to understand that we don't always have to be so independent, right? We're created to depend on God. We're created to rely on him. You know, we are created to be able to recognize our need for God in our lives. Because we know that the moment that we do that, actually, before that, it's very difficult for us to know that. But once we know God, we actually start to recognize our need. You know, I met with somebody a couple weeks ago who is not a believer yet, but they have come to SP. They had actually come to SP just before we started to close down again. And in that experience of meeting God, that first time, right? And they're still in the journey. They're still in the process. I wouldn't say they're a Christian yet, but they definitely recognized there's something very powerful happening. They were telling me that they started to cry and that their life since that time, which has been maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. I don't remember. I don't know which Sunday was the Sunday they came. But something has shifted and they've started to recognize, even though they're not quite there to say they're a Christian, but they recognize there's a need for God. right? And even in the conversations I've had with this person, having them discuss and talk about just the Christian lingo and understanding, you know, how to pray, right? They're looking for a guide, someone to show them, right? There's that need for someone to help them understand. And I think sometimes as Christians, the longer we're Christian, we forget our need to be guided by God, that we can slip into that easy mode of, I already know what scripture says, or I've been doing it so long, you kind of go on autopilot, right? Where you're just doing it, forgetting how much we need God. A sheep never doesn't need its shepherd, and we never don't need God. And we need to be reminded at times that we need him, right? We see here that also David recognizes that even through difficulties, right? David went, you know, David gets anointed king, right? He defeats Goliath. He plays the harp for Saul, and Saul loses the anointing of king, and he sees something in David. He recognizes what's going on, and he does not like David. He wants him dead. He chases him, right? David had opportunities to literally kill Saul, and he chooses not to, right? He knows that it's not his place, and he's trusting God, but yet he's hiding in caves. He's on the run. You know, he understands darkness, and he knows in this, you see in Psalm 23, he recognizes that through it all, God has been with him. In the difficult times, he's still able to see the goodness of God. He chooses to praise God even in the hard times. You know, I wonder how often we do that. Or does it turn into complaints? And you know, the Psalms have a lot of, you know, anguish. There's a lot of times where they're crying out to God about the difficulty. So that's good. That's something we should be doing. But are we also able to change our perspective and yes, still cry out to God and you know, be like, God, I don't understand what's going on. And yet this is where we put in the butt. God, I don't know what's going on, but I just choose to praise you. I choose to trust you. I choose to follow you. We know that here David recognized that he needed God, and often we don't always know what we need, right? It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It's not, he brings me to green pastures and I've chosen to lay down. It's, he makes me lie down. You know, God sometimes will make us do things that we don't understand. We don't understand what's going on. But green pastures, like we, in our pick, mine, I mean, not Hong Kong as much, it's hard to find beautiful green grass to just lay down in, right? But in other areas, you know, you see green grass, you know, you throw out the blanket and you rest, you see it as peaceful, and it's something that's most people, not everybody, most people enjoy to do, right? But sometimes we can't always see the green right there. We can't see that this is good for us, that God is working, right? And Dave recognizes sometimes God makes us lie down. God makes us, it's a good for us. You know, it says he restores my soul. In Hebrew, this word restore can also make us come to a place, mean coming to a place of repentance. You know, it's not always easy in our life to repent, to recognize the sin or our shortcomings, right? But God leads us to restoration. God's ultimate desire is that we're restored to him, that we have a relationship with him, right? And so along the way, he may make us do certain things to bring us to that point, but we can trust that it's for our good, that it's not to harm us, that it's not to bring us down into a place that we can never come back from. You know, in this psalm, it talks about we live under the shadow of death. We notice the word is shadow. It's not that we live under death. We live under the shadow of death. If we look at Jesus, we see that Jesus took the full reality of death onto himself, right? And we get to live under the shadow. There's times that things aren't easy, things are hard, but we know that ultimately we never face ultimate death. As a believer, that we have been set free from ever facing eternal death, separation from God, where we will not be with him in heaven. As believers, we can understand that even though things are difficult here on earth, that we'll face hardships, and we can hold on to the hope that Jesus has taken the ultimate, he is the full reality of death unto himself, so that we can have the full reality of heaven with him one day. That new earth, that new place, that healing. You know, and as we read through Psalm 23, words that are so familiar to so many of us, you know, we can take it for granted what David is saying, that reflection of the truth of who God is that he understood, right? David, a man after God's own heart, right? He talks about, you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, his cup overflows. He sees what God is doing. He recognizes this. Everything that God is doing in his life is not of his own, but it's of God. The goodness, the things that make his life overflow come from him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, right? And then you surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When in the Old Testament world, in that time period, when you ate or drank at someone's table, it created a bond. It's not like today. Well, I mean, in Hong Kong, people don't have people over as much as in other places because of house sizes. We like to go out, right? But when you actually invite someone into your home, there's something of a connection typically, right? There's a friendship. There's a bond. Here in the Old Testament, we see that there's this it's almost like a covenant that's made. There's a symbolic covenant taking place. And so when David is describing God preparing a table, it's not that God joined David at the table. It's God prepared the table for him. There is this idea of covenant relationship. It's so God's guest could be more than an acquaintance. It's an invitation for a day to live with him, right? And so through all of Psalm 23, we get this understanding of David recognizing God, who God is. That the characteristics of God and his need for God in his life. And so this morning, as we go to a time of worship, I just kind of want you to reflect on this psalm. You know, reflect on maybe who is God to you, not like who you want to make him to be, but how do you understand God in a tangible way that shows and demonstrates that he's God, he's real, he comes to you. He wants that relationship with you. You know, what is things in your life that are difficult that you need to trust God in right now? So let's just have a time of worship and reflection and also God to speak to us.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just take a moment to give thanks to God. And I'll give thanks to God for his leading, his guiding of us. Even the times where he's made us stop and just rest. Let's just give thanks to God and just for a moment before we go into a time of prayer. Go to our prayer focus. Let's pray for those who are suffering, battling cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery, recovering from surgery. Let's just lift them up to God right now. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for healing. And let's just pray that during this time that they will continue to rely on God as their Lord, their Savior, and their Shepherd. Pray for those who are sick but also need to meet Jesus as their Savior. Let's just lift them up this morning. Let's pray that God will just open their hearts to Him, and let's also pray for their physical healing. pray for those in our community who are battling other infirmities. Let's just pray that God will continue just to show them goodness, and let's just pray God for complete healing. For those who are looking for jobs, let's pray that God will lead them to the right place at the right time, and that, yeah, let's just continue to lift them up. Mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Peace Sophia, Jongmin Hinjin in Tokyo. Let's pray for Cambodia with Grace Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just lift up these men and women who are serving out in other communities. Let's pray for God's continue just to support and just to guidance in each of their lives as they continue to move forward in their missions in each of these locations. Lift up our mission council. Let's lift up PSAM and all the members. Let's pray for wisdom and guidance as they distribute funds and just as they lead us to be more mission-minded as a church. Yeah, let's just lift them up. And let's lift up all of our, let's lift them as they continue to guide us in our church so that we will continue to focus on missions as being important. Thank you. with some of our local outreach teams, Agape, Homey, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, and SP Lights. Let's just pray for wisdom and guidance as they minister during this time and season. And those that are not able to minister, let's just pray that the people that they usually meet up with will just really still be able to be provided for and experience God's love. Fam, our fostering and adoption ministry led by Cadence, especially as Cadence is going on maternity leave as she'll be having her baby soon. Let's just pray that God will just continue to guide this ministry, just protect Cadence and Jackie and the kids during this time. And let's just pray for all the families who are waiting for babies to come into their homes and anyone thinking of adoption. Let's just continue to pray and lift up this ministry. Let's lift up our Friday night gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and GIC. Let's just pray for encounters with God, even though they're meeting on Zoom. Let's just pray for no Zoom fatigue. Let's pray that God will be able to minister to each person and that they'll be able to connect and just openly share, even though they can't meet in person right now. Finally, let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our leaders, our government leaders. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our doctors and everyone who's ministering and working with those who are sick. Let's just pray for wisdom for families and individuals as we make choices about what to do. Yeah, and let's lift up our city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's just pray for healing and forgiveness in this city. So God, we just thank you that you are God, that we can call our shepherd, that we can trust that you will guide us and lead us. God, that you have good things in store for us. Lord, that you choose to be with us. Lord, that you've chosen to take a title that many people during that time would not have seen as a high position, but it would have been looked down upon. But yet you choose it so that we recognize that you are concerned about even the most difficult parts of our lives, that you want to be intimately connected with us and that you are personally involved. God, we just thank you that you're a God who cares about us. God, that you're a God who knows us and wants us to be at the table with you. God, we just pray, Lord, today that we'll be able just to seek you and find you. Lord, that we can just be able to know what you're doing and how we can join you. So we just pray that our spirits will connect to yours, your Holy Spirit connect to our minds, our bodies, and souls. We just pray this in all your name, in your name. Amen.